Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Strong. Okay. It's great to see so many bright and shining faces this morning, and glad to be with you once again. The past couple of weeks, we've been talking about faith and finances and trying to find out what Jesus has to say about money. The first week, we learned that how we use our money can lead either to blessing or to woe. That one of the challenges we face with the resources we've been given is finding out how to be generous toward God. This led into what Pastor Chris was talking about last week in her sermon, asking the question, how can we be rich toward God? Again, the way we use our money, either to be rich toward ourselves or rich toward God, seems to be the issue. And this week, we're considering a third teaching of Jesus. One of the main things that inhibits us from seeking or from being rich toward God and discovering the blessings that come with a generous spirit is that we are worried about our finances. We are worried. And Jesus' words to his disciples are striking in their clarity. Do not worry, he says, about your life, or what you will eat, about your body, and what you will wear. This straight talk by Jesus is directly on the heels of the story that comes before it, the parable that he told about a rich man who did worry about these things. Do you remember that story from last week? This man, instead of putting his energy, attention, and riches towards the things of God, put them towards allaying his own worries about his life. We have no record, you see, of this man ever sharing any of his great wealth with a neighbor or with a person in need. In a way, our passage today is a continuation of that story, a kind of explanation of what Jesus was talking about. Unlike that man, Jesus is saying, I tell you, do not be afraid. Do not worry. Do not be anxious. Instead of worry, it's that familiar verse we've been singing together today. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you as well. First, tend to, build up, seek the things of the kingdom. And then we will trust God to take care of us. Will you pray with me? Let's pray. God, like a mother hen, you gather us together and provide for us. As we gather around your word this morning, we pray you would provide us with understanding and help us to trust in you. Amen. Amen. There's a story about an author that some of you are familiar with named Friedrich Buechner. Do you know this author? We talk about him sometimes. And he tells a story about how once he was out on a walk near his home in Vermont, a real mountainous area. And he was out walking because he was worried. He was worried about his anorexic daughter. He didn't know what to do. He was thinking about it and mulling it over, and he didn't know how to respond. And this worry was kind of consuming him. And as he was walking along, brooding on all of this, a car came up the road and went past him. And he looked up and saw the license plate on this car, on the back of the car. Said, trust. Trust. Here he was worrying about so many things, and along came just a little reminder to trust in God. And it was a few months later that Buechner says he was at home talking with his daughter, kind of just reminiscing about this strange thing that had happened. And a man walked up and knocked on the door while they were there, and he came in holding this license plate that said trust. This old license plate. And he explained that he's a trust officer at his local bank. And so this was sort of a vanity plate that he had on his card. He does trust work at the bank. But he had heard Buechner tell this story in a sermon on one Sunday nearby. And he wanted to come and meet the man and bring him this little gift. This license plate that had reminded him not to worry, but to trust. And in the midst of our worries, of the things that we're worrying about, I wonder what it will take for us to trust God. Are we waiting for some kind of a sign that it's time to worry less and trust more? I don't know. But today I want to take a look at what Jesus says to his disciples about not being anxious in two different ways. First, how we as a church hear what Jesus says to us about not worrying as a church. And second, how we as individuals hear this word from Jesus, do not worry. There's a book called God is Dead, Secularization in the West. And I have a confession to make. I've never read it. From the title, I could probably surmise what it's about. But the reason that I mention it today is that on the cover of that book, there's a picture of a big old church in a downtown setting somewhere. And this big old church, and out in front, instead of having a cross hanging there or maybe a sign saying what time the worship services are going to be, instead of anything like that, there's a big sign that reads, Mike's Carpet Store, Discount Rugs. Right on the front of this old church. And it seems that this house of prayer has become a house of rugs instead. Now, I don't know the story of what happened to that church. I don't know why it ended up becoming Mike's House of Rugs. But I was thinking about this story and the story of our church, a place that has essentially survived a series of near-death experiences over the years based on money. Some of you are new, like I am. I've only been here 10 months. Some of you have only been here 1 week. Maybe you don't know the story of this place, but it's been through so many times of worry and wonder about what the future will hold. And yet it survived, and even coming to more and more vitality in life. But even so, even as survivors, a church of survivors, I think there's still a possibility that this worry can creep in to our thinking. That we don't want to become the next carpet store church. And there's kind of a worry that goes along with this that helps, that sort of directs our thinking towards keeping the doors open or the lights on or the staff paid. And it can focus us towards this instead of doing the kind of ministry to which we've been called. And we know that a church is more than a building or more than a bank account. And we hear Jesus' admonition to seek first the kingdom of God, to seek first to do the mission and ministry of the church, to transform lives, to give hope, to truly be a community that's marked by grace and forgiveness and love. So along with telling his disciples to seek first the kingdom of God, to stay focused on their primary mission, Jesus also reassures them. He says, your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. God knows that as a church, you know, we're a lot more effective in ministry when our building's not falling apart, or when it looks its best and is shining as a tool for ministry. God knows that. God knows that we can reach farther in mission and outreach when we have the kind of budget that allows us to do that. But when we faithfully carry out the core mission and ministry of our church and trust that all the rest of these things will come along, we are heeding Jesus' words. But a church, as we know, is more than just a building or a place. It's made up of the people, all of us who are members of the body of Christ. And as Jesus' words speak to the church as a group, not to worry, but to trust, Jesus also has a word for each of us individually. Seeking first the kingdom of God and finding our part to play in what God is doing in the world is something that we are all kind of trying to do, aren't we? And especially during this stewardship season, this time of talking about money in the church, we're particularly wondering, how do my financial resources fit into that? I want to suggest that there are two main worries that can affect us individually when we try and talk about faith and finances. The first of these goes something like, if I give to the church, I won't have enough for myself. That makes sense. That's not such a strange worry to have. If I give to someone else, I'll have less for myself and my own needs. I don't think that's out of bounds. Let me bring this into focus for us today. I don't know if any of you have experienced it before, but some people here, many of us, experience on a weekly basis a moment of worry. A moment of worry. Here's the scene. You're in church, sitting in your favorite pew, minding your own business. And you notice at one point in the service that a couple of ushers get up and they kind of go to the back and stand back there. And then someone comes here in the front and says some things about how we've been richly blessed by God and how now we're going to respond and give back to God. Ack, you think? It's the offering. Oh no, how much should I give? What should I do? This is a moment of worry for many of us. Maybe for you, the collection of the offering causes some kind of a worry inside. Worry how much to give, because maybe you're worried about having enough money to put gas in your car on the way home. Maybe you just want to get a bagel. I don't know what it is. But there's a worry about that. And there's a secret to overcoming this worry, which I guess isn't much of a secret, because many people in this congregation already know what it is. And it has to do with planning ahead. Those who are faithful pledgers to this church not only help us as we prepare for the year to come, but also help themselves because they experience the kind of peace of mind knowing that they've prepared their support in advance. So when that offering plate comes around, it isn't a moment of panic anymore because they've already considered the gifts that God has given them and determined what they are able to give. This kind of faithful financial planning has the effect of freeing us from worry, and it allows us to be part of the kingdom work that this church is trying to do. When we're faithful partners in this kingdom work, God honors that. So, striving to be part of the kingdom, to be about the ministry, to be in support of this thing that God is up to, leads us to trust that these real life needs that we have, and God knows it, will be added as well. Now, I'm not on TV and I don't have a million-dollar car out in front, so I'm not in the business of telling you or suggesting that you're going to get that promotion or a new car or win the lottery. I don't know what's in store. I don't know about that. But the promise of Scripture is this. God, that just as God cares for those lilies of the field and those birds of the air, so much more will God care for you. So maybe you want to support the work of the kingdom, and you're trusting that God will care for you. You're going along with that. But perhaps you still have another worry, and the worry is about how the money that you're giving makes any difference in this world. You want to be a faithful steward of what you have, and you want it to make a difference. You want it to count for something. And there's a quote by Gandhi that I'll bet you've seen somewhere before. It goes something like, "Be the change that you wish to see in the world." Have you seen that before? Maybe on a bumper sticker or a refrigerator magnet, I don't know. But I think that the sentiment of this quote, "Be the change you wish to see in the world," It means to act in ways that reflect our values. That's what he's talking about. Kind of resonates with us. Does it resonate with you a little bit? That there's so much in the world that we think needs changing. Things like homelessness and hopelessness and hurricanes. Things like fires and famines and floods. And inside each of us, there's this very human response that says, how can I help? We want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. We want to be part of something that's bigger than ourselves. We want to be part of the change that the world needs. But again, what can any of us do in the face of it all? So maybe you have this worry a little bit about why a financial pledge to a local church matters. In the face of all these things out there, why should that be where I'm putting some of my money? Why should that be a place of stewardship? I want to tell you. I want to share with you. Presbyterian mission organizations, which our church funds directly support, were some of the first responders to the fires in California. They were some of the first people to be down in the Gulf Coast after Hurricane Katrina. They're some of the first people to send aid and support to the Dominican Republic after these floods. And that makes a difference. If you care about those kinds of things, this is a place to make that difference. The generous funding and vision by this church, this local congregation, sent a team, a mission team, down to New Orleans last summer to help people down there get back on their feet, to help build up a little of what was destroyed. And that makes a difference. Do you care about things like that? Our annual giving from this church in our region helps support other congregations that need a little bit of help. Yesterday, some of us were down at Presbytery, which is a meeting, a regional meeting that met in Connecticut. And I had a chance to eat lunch with Joseph Kimatu, who's the pastor of the Kenyan Presbyterian Immigrant Fellowship. That's a lot of words, but basically people from Kenya who are here and they want to get together and worship God. And I told him that I was going to mention him today to you. I told him we cared about him and about his people. That through our financial support that this church plans for every year, those people are able to worship in their own language in a land that's far from home. And that makes a difference. So if you want to be part of the change that you wish to see in the world, why not do that along with this community of faith? As we respond to the needs we see with the love of Christ. And as we finish up today, if our church is looking for a sign that we really need to trust God, here it is. Our rent-paying friends from Head Start have moved out. In the middle of a financial planning stewardship season. And ours as a church has a commitment to maintaining our levels of mission funding, to the funds that we send out there, not just in here. And at the same time, we have a vision of expanding the pastoral leadership capacity of our church. So into this mix, there's a worry, and we can be consumed by it, or we can respond in trust. And maybe you personally are looking for a sign in your own life that of how God is calling you to direct your finances. While I don't have a license plate with the word trust on it to give you, that'd be really cool, but not a good use of money. I wish I had one. I don't have that to give you, but what I have are some words of Jesus. I want to give them to you, to take out with you this week. He said, seek first the kingdom of God. Tend to those things first in your financial planning. And all the rest, the things that you need, well, God already knows about that. And God will provide. Jesus says, do not worry. Amen. Will you continue with me in worship as we stand?